I'm so interested to see how today's going to go. I've been interested, and I will continue to be interested, because there's one day where I used to be a youth pastor, and I just felt God say to me, you know what? What if you just stripped everything away, this one service for the youth? What if you didn't have lights? What if you didn't have a bunch of crazy worship? What if you just got up there, preached the word? And I went, okay. And I could tell you the whole story, but it was really good. And that's what I feel today. Normally I got like a super funky slide that comes up, and it has like the title of my message that's thoughtful and crafted. And today I don't. Today it's going to be me and the Word of God. And we're going to go on an adventure together, dive into His Word, and see what happens. Why don't you turn right now, like I just did, to Galatians. We're going to go to Galatians 4. And while you're doing that, I want you to think about this. So I went to Victoria with my family. We got to do some ministry training, and it was awesome. They taught us a whole bunch of things about what it means to be a disciple, about what do you do in a church? How do you do it? What does this even look like? They equipped us to do the work of the ministry. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting is, instead of going really deep into systems, into the how of things, like how do we make it easier for you guys to be connected? How do we have really good small groups? How do we blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. They said, before we discuss literally any of that, we're going to make sure that you know what the gospel is. And I went, well, I'm a pastor. I know what the gospel is. I know what the good news of Jesus Christ is. And they said, we're going to do it anyways. And they spent 9 hours going through the gospel with me and a room full of other pastors and leaders together. And so when I think about the gospel, I think about the good news of Jesus. I think about Gabby just breaking down, screaming and crying out there. I love that the gospel is not this crazy message that only can be understood by the world's elite. The good news of Jesus Christ is simple enough for a child to understand, that my daughter, when she stops having a meltdown, will be able to understand one day, that you too can understand. It goes beyond our wisdom. So what is the good news of Jesus? What is the gospel? I know many of you in here, you know the Lord personally. Could you explain it? Could you say this is what the gospel is? The thing that they kept on saying over and over again was, the story that you live in is the story that you live out. You may not know the entire Bible verse for verse, but you are being shaped by a narrative. And you either get that narrative from the truth of Scripture, or you import that narrative from culture, meaning the narrative of me, you know, leading my family, trying to provide. I can take it from culture and let that shape how I understand what it means to love my family, lead my family, provide for my family. Or I can let the Bible itself shape me, the narrative of the gospel. So it's important. The story that you live in is the story you will live out, the narrative. He chose to reveal himself through narrative. So this is really important. So I'm going to let you do it right now. Everyone goes, oh, what's going on? Just the next person, whoever's next to you, that we don't need to make this super complicated. Tell them the gospel. I'm going to put up a timer for 2 minutes. Grab the person next to you. If you're here by yourself, feel free to grab the person next to you. Or just practice, you know, praying in tongues by yourself. It doesn't matter. Grab someone that's next to you and say, this is what I think the gospel is. We're going to throw up a timer right now. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. What is the gospel? How would you express it? Go right now. Do it. Yeah, it's interesting, hey? when you try and actually, like, here's the good news. You try and verbalize it. How did it go? Was it really awkward? Who thought it was awkward? Nobody? Okay, a couple people. Who, like, killed it? Said, yeah, I got through the entire Bible in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's funny how when we think of the good news of Jesus, we think it has to be perfect like Jesus is perfect. I remember when I was coming back from Texas, this was like hour probably 20 of flying. So I was beat. I was also sick. I had a fever and what else? I was nauseous. I was not doing so well. And on the last flight, the very last flight, I hopped on and I was in the middle seat between two women. So I said, sorry, guys, broad shoulders, I'm coming in. And I sat down and I popped a Tylenol, so I wasn't like so bad, but I got to get home. So I sit down and the lady next to me starts chatting me up. And I'm like, lady, I want to go to sleep for this last hour between Vancouver and Kelowna. And she's telling me this and telling me that. And where are you coming from? And I was actually coming from a pastor's conference. And I said, oh, I came from this and blah, blah, blah. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. And she was like, oh, yeah, I have some Christianity in the background. Okay. And I go, okay, Jesus, obviously you're giving me a door here. Obviously I'm supposed to preach the gospel to her. Obviously I'm supposed to tell her about you. But I go, I'm so weak. I don't have a frame. Where's my notes? Where's my nice polished screen that I can point your attention to? No, I'm sick. I don't feel well. Even at this moment, like I my head has been bothering me. So it's just funny how God works all these things. And so I tell her the gospel. I said, this is why I believe. I was set free from my depression. I'm a totally new person. Go on and on and on. And I tell her not just what Jesus has done in my life, but also who he is, that he's God. Explain the gospel. And later I go, what do you do? Who are you? And she goes, oh, I'm the general counsel to the Secretary General of Canada. I said, well, what the heck are you doing on a plane like this? Like, aren't you supposed to be in first class? Aren't you? But for whatever reason, I had a divine appointment with that woman at the very point when I was at the end of myself. This is the most important story ever told, and it's important that we get it right, but it's also important that we don't overemphasize and try to, like, make this something that is so perfect. I think what I want to point you to, it's just a little bit before 4, it's verse 26 in 3. Let me just read it for you. It says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Man, that's if I had to pick a really good sentence that draws attention to the good news of what Jesus has done, I'd probably pick that verse, that we are adopted, that we have faith in Christ Jesus. We become the children of God. So if I was going to take you through not the gospel in 30 seconds, but in a couple minutes, I'd start in Genesis. I'd start in this moment where God created humanity. There was something that he wanted to do. He wanted to create. He created us. He created a place for us to be. We walked and talked with him. There was no separation. We walked together. But he gave us a choice and said, do you trust me or do you think that you know best? And humanity said, I think I know best. I think I know the right way to go. In that, sin was born. There was a disconnection. That separation occurred. Evil entered into the world. There was the fall. Separation. And even though the separation needed exile, he sent them away. Because he's a holy God, he cannot have sin next to him. Sent them away. God, in that moment, even began this process of a promise for restoration. In the garden, he pronounces that he will send someone through the woman that will restore man back to him, humanity back to him. So there's this promise. And then it happens through Abraham. I will bless you, Abraham, not because of what you've done, but because you believed in me, because your faith is true. I will bless you. I will make you a big, huge nation. And he did. And then King David, I will bless you, King David, with a rule that lasts forever and ever. There's a promise. So there's creation. We're with God. Then there's the fall. We're separated from God. And then he promises to come back and get us. Where we have walked away from him, he will come back and bring us in. And then comes this glorious moment in time. Over all these years where we have waited and waited and waited to be reunited with God comes the cross of Jesus Christ. And not just the cross, but also his life. The person of the Son of God, Jesus, comes into the world, lives this sinless life. That's important. Only the sinless one can take on our sin. He sacrificed because life is demanded. Blood is demanded. And that sacrifice allows us not just to be close to God again, but to be his very temple. We are indwelled by the very God that loves us. He came down to us. We didn't go up to him. He came down to us. But it doesn't stop there. Now we're tasked with the same mission that Adam was given, to go and create, to go and make disciples. This is why we gather, to be reminded of the goodness of God, but then to be sharpened to go and be sent out. So when you come in here, we worship the one that indwells us so that we can be equipped and empowered to go out and make disciples. That's the restoration coming through. But then we still have a hope. Because there's still sickness, there's still pain, there's still loss, there's even still physical death. One day we will see Jesus Christ come back, and no more will there be sickness, no more will there be death, no more will there be pain, but only joy. That is the story of the gospel. Are you living in that story, or are you living out of a different one? Let's read our verse for today. Starting 4:4, just a couple verses. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. When we look at this verse, I think sometimes we're so quick to skim through the Bible, read it in the morning, open it up. Let me just point you back again. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Every single word that is on these pages becomes like our food. We cannot let our lives be shaped by a different narrative. We are, if we have the Spirit of God in us, the very children of God. One reserved for Adam. He was the son of God. How can I stand here and say that I am a son of God? It's the gospel. The very first line, it said, but when the right time came. Oh, but that's hard for us to understand, right? Because we want things now. Because we're an impatient people. Because we think we know what's best. Just like in the garden. Do you trust me, God says? What are you waiting on right now, my family? What are you waiting on? Because all of us in this space are waiting on something. Probably something that we cannot do. Waiting for God to move. And he's asking you to wait. Because it's not the fullness of time. It's not the request that's wrong. It's not what you're asking for. It's not what you're hoping for or expecting. It's not the faith that's wrong. It's the timing that's wrong. It's not yet. Another translation says, when the fullness of time had come. This is when he sent his son, when the fullness of time had come. And we can ponder all we want why Jesus didn't come earlier, but the result is this, that so many people got to experience God in so many different ways. When we look at the law, this is what Paul is talking about in this whole verse, that we were like children. We didn't know what was right. We didn't know what was good or evil. And he gave us what is right and wrong, the law, to give us boundaries to hold us tightly to him. But instead of this, it became almost like a shackle upon us. We actually became slaves to the law. And I say we, I mean God's people. We became slaves to the thing that was meant to guide us. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe that thing that you're waiting for, you're actually enslaved to. Maybe you are waiting for something that you've already been given. Time is tricky. And I can't know every single one of your scenarios, but I can tell you this, at just the right time, at just the right time, he sent his son. Not later, not earlier. So if you're waiting right now, I want to encourage you. God knows the time, and it is coming, and you can have faith. You should have faith. Just the right time. Then God sent his son. This wasn't anyone. This was a fully human and fully divine man. God's very own son. He did not sin. This needed to be so. Because if there was any stain upon him, he couldn't have taken ours as well. It's this promise that's weaved all through Scripture. Then it says, born of a woman. Remember that promise that I brought you back to in the garden? She had to. The promise of God. He will crush your head, Satan, but he, Satan, will bite his heel. For those of you who know the Scripture, this is a promise right at the very beginning of everything. Born of a woman. And then subject to the law. I think many of us are living this way. Not free. Not like a child, but I think actually as an orphan. Even though there was God's own people in this time when he gave the law, they were slaves to it. And when I look at this whole chapter, I think many of us in this room actually live a lot more like orphans. When you walk into a room, do you know who you are? When you're pursuing things in your everyday life, are you rooted in the gospel? Or are you trying to prove yourself? Are you trying to make enough money? Trying to have a big enough house or a fancy enough car or enough people in the church? What are you trying to build? What are you trying to do? Are you living in your life through relationships in that frame? Are you an orphan or are you a son or a daughter? Are you living in the light of the gospel? I know this isn't new information, but I want you to ponder it. I want you to think about it. I want you to sit with it. And I didn't want it to be scripted. I want it to be real and raw and have this weird kind of flow going on because I wanted the Lord to speak to you. Are you living like an orphan? It says at just the right time, God sent him, Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. I often kind of joke about my cat, that I gave birth to him. Everyone's like, okay. It's because he's actually taken on a lot of my mannerisms, which is almost kind of funny. He's a little bit like, he loves to be around people, but he doesn't like to be next to people. Like, there's things about my cat. It's funny, we both have green eyes, whatever. He is obviously not born from me. And most of you here are not probably Jewish by ethnicity. You're Gentiles. That means there's this special grace that God gives to you because he's grafted you into this Old Testament promise. The promise that was once for a select group of people is now for you. This root that has grown up through all of history when we read this Bible now is yours. Let me read to you just a little bit before. It says this, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. "There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." Are we living that way? Living out of the light that we have salvation, that we have a God who goes before us, that we have a God who defeats our enemies. Over and over in the Old Testament, if I'm going to say that I am a child of Abraham, the receiver of that promise, that means wherever I tread, I know that the Lord is with me. Wherever I go, I know that victory is here. Wherever I go, I know that even though there may be sickness or disease that comes against me, I have the healer. Even though demons may try to interrupt and witches may try to put curses on my house, I have a name that's greater than all other demons, all other curses, that repels those things. I have the name of Jesus. And you can live out of the light of the gospel, or you can live out of the light of culture that says, put an amulet on myself so hopefully all these spirits don't come in. That I need to, you know, sage my house so that this spirit doesn't hurt me. Or I need to, you know, worry about sickness and death. No, there's a new life. You're living it right now. If you are truly born again, you are a child of God. Yeah, you are a child of God. Fully grafted into all of these promises. This part I love. And because we are his children, because of all of this good news, because we don't have to be alone anymore, we are not orphans. Now he has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. That's the Holy Spirit, into our hearts. This is actually something that marks us and seals us. That we don't have to wonder or wander or try to figure things out. We simply can cry out, "Abba, Father." I love how this is worded as well, that it's not even us crying out. That it's the Spirit inside us that's prompting us to cry out, "Abba, Father." Different translation would say it this way, "Papa, Father." There's two different connotations to those words. I think Papa, to me, there's this intimacy. Some people may call their grandfather that, Papa. That's what my daughter will call me already. She's starting to say those words. There is an intimacy where I know her and she knows me, and she can run up to me and say, "Pick me up," for the 20th time in a minute. Or she can scream and cry and know that I will still love her. I will provide for her needs. So when you are going through things, which, let's be honest, people, we are all going through something. We're all waiting for something. We're all deficient in something. When we need something, we have a Father in heaven who provides for us based on the intimacy that he has given us. He has provided it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to be good enough. I don't need to preach well enough or lead my family well enough. In fact, I'd say probably the more that I run away from God, the more that he is calling me back to himself. And some of you think that your rebellion has stained you. Some of you think that you're far enough away that, I don't know, I really got to work my way into God's presence. No, today Jesus says, come to me. The Father says, come to me. Receive identity again. Because all of us at times will walk and go and be clothed in a different thing other than Christ. We'll put on different clothes. I'll put on stained clothes. I'll put on bloody clothes. I'll put on something else. We can live in the light of the gospel. And then Father, not just this intimacy, but this stronghold that we can run to. The Bible also declares that we can come underneath his wings. How's that for a picture? I think huge wings, that he is our fortress. That whenever anything comes against us, we have safety, provision, protection. This is the promise of the gospel. I'm not preaching something new, people. I'm pointing you back to who you are in Christ. Something that has already happened in your life. Let me finish out with this last verse. And now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Paul talks about, in Galatians, how the law was like this guardian, so that before everything was full, before the fullness of time had come, there was a placeholder that kept us almost confined, but it kept us safe. Kept us confined, gave us boundaries, and that it was good. But then, when an heir comes to the fullness of time, whatever that looks like, whenever they're meant to step into the heirhood, they receive everything. And not kind of, but all at once. You here have had that moment. You are an heir of Christ. I'd say a co-heir with Christ. So everything that is his is now yours, accessible to you. You want to be other? You want to be holy? Ask him. That secret sin that you don't want to reveal, you don't want it to be there anymore. Ask for him to come in power in his holiness and let you go. Let my people go in Jesus' name. We are no longer slaves. Not slaves to the law, not slaves to sin, not slaves to anything other than Christ himself. We are with him, and he is for us. And just now, let these words wash over you. You don't need to earn this. You are an heir. You are loved. You are favored, highly favored. So I'll leave you with this story, and then we'll take a moment, I think, to respond. But when I was in Victoria, and not only then, but also in Texas, there's moments where I become super insecure. Anyone ever had those moments where you're with a whole bunch of other people and they're all having conversations, they're all talking, they're all loving each other, and you're just like the odd person out? Yeah. And you feel like an orphan. It's the best way I could describe it. And I would run into this situation time and time and time again where all of you would be interacting with one another and you'd be loving on each other, and I just put on this identity that says, you are not loved, you are not cared for, no one cares about what you think, no one wants you here, the voice of the enemy. And I would begin to be clothed with this. This is the story that I would live out of. And so what would happen is I'd either isolate myself, go into myself, or I begin to operate out of that orphanhood. And so when I talk to other people, it would be weird because I'd be really insecure, which is not super normal for me. I'm fairly, like, charismatic. I can get up here and talk without stuff. This is pretty cool. I can do it. But in these moments, put on a new identity. Put on an old identity of orphanhood. And I've learned something, these two encounters, specifically the one in Victoria. I felt this coming on. There's this room full of really awesome people. They're pastors, they're leaders in their churches. They're all talking with one another. Every chair is pushed together. There's a few off to the corner. Me, Jose, Gabby, we're the odd ones out. And so for a while, I tried to kind of make conversation, and it just felt even more awkward, felt even more excluded. And then I tried to, like, maybe I'll just sit on my own over here for a little bit. And I sat kind of on a chair. That felt even worse because now I'm physically excluded. And so I've learned to do something. I said, okay, Jose, I'm going for a walk. I'm leaving. She goes, where are you going? And I go, I'll be right back. So I went and I did a lap just of the neighborhood. And I said, Father, would you help me to remember that I am your son in whom you are well pleased. Father, would you bring me back into that sonship again? I don't want to operate out of this orphan spirit. I want to know that you love me and that it doesn't matter what all of them think about me. It doesn't matter whether they include me. It doesn't matter what happens. My circumstances or my feelings don't get to dictate what he says about me. And so I clothe myself again. I put on that fresh identity again. And I say, okay, in Jesus' name, amen. And I feel a little bit better. And I feel a little bit more upright. I have a little bounce in my step again, but it's not much. It's just a little bit. And I walk back in, and there's an old man. His name is Gareth, and he's a retired pastor, so wise. I needed counsel. I pulled up my chair. It was like I didn't even know. I pulled up my chair and I said, hey, Gareth, can I run a couple things past you? He says, yeah. So I give him my situation. I ask him. We begin to have this incredible conversation. I don't feel excluded anymore. But then it doesn't stop there because our God is a good God. He's so much better than we could ever imagine. So then the leaders come back together. They pull everyone back together. And we're doing kind of like a wrap-up of all the ministry that has been happening, all the training that has been happening. And they say, Denny and Jose, like, they need our prayer right now. David is leaving. Things are happening. Future is uncertain. Denny and Jose, could you go into the middle of this circle, and can we pray for you? So at once I was over here, excluded, on my own, insecure, all by myself. And one moment of retreating. So I'd encourage you, when you have those moments, retreat. Go into the secret place and put on your identity that you've already received. The story that you're living in is the story that you will live out. Put on that identity again. And then we just got prayed over. We were in the family of God. And it was incredible. It really was. I felt whole again. Accepted. Included. Our feelings don't dictate things. But it sure helps when we feel good. So what we're going to do is just take a moment. And I want you to receive a fresh identity. Again. I want you to do what I did. I'm going to not force you, but invite you to come again to the Father. Whether you have had a really good experience with your earthly father or not, I'm telling you, he wants you, he desires you, he loves you. He wants to show you his love again. So just take a moment. Here, close your eyes if you need. Just receive. I just thank you, Father. I can feel the Holy Spirit just like sweeping through the place. It's gentle and light. Thank you, Father, for an identity that it's not dependent on our ability to keep a law or do the right thing every single time. Thank you, Father, that you sent your only son to die a death that we should have had. Thank you, Father, that in the beginning You said, I want my people, and I will find a way to bring them to me. I'll go to them. I'll chase after them. I'll show them who I am. Father, help us to live out of the identity that we are a son or a daughter of the Most High King. Abraham, Moses, David, you, Jesus, fulfilled it all. Forgive us, Jesus, when we make it about ourselves or when we make it about other things. The end, when we really strip things back, even though it's the Sunday school answer, Jesus, you are everything. You are everything. So, Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that you did not leave us alone, but that you put us here at this time to go and make disciples. How can we go and tell people if we have not heard? How can we go and live out of this identity if we have not received it? But then we also have to live it. We also have to go and live the things that we believe. So help us now, whether we are working or in school or hanging out with our kids or whatever we find ourselves doing this week, Jesus, would you help us to live empowered by your Spirit? Holy Spirit, would you indwell us in power in this moment and then fill us? Fill us again afresh, knowing that everything that comes against us has to kneel before you. Everything. There's no one more powerful. There's no one greater. There is no one more mighty. You are our wonderful counselor. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the King of Kings. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You are my banner. You are my healer. You are my protector. You are where my help comes from. I am nothing without you, but with you, I can do so many amazing things. Lord, help us as a body to build your kingdom this week. That means standing boldly upon that sonship. When people come and say, who are you? I can say, I'm the most amazing son that I have, a good father. Oh, Jesus. Just help us. Just help us. Pray in Jesus' name. Don't feel like you need to run off. I'll invite two of my favorite people to come up. Virginia to come up. One thing that the youth did at the youth service was they prayed for people. They just said, here I am. I don't have much, but I do have Jesus in me. So I just wanted to offer this to you. So often, this, let me pray for you, becomes an afterthought. We went to a church in Victoria that was probably 250 people, and they had two couples, two different people on both sides, and they said, if anyone needs prayer, come down to the front. And nobody came down. No one needed prayer. Or maybe they were too scared. Whatever that is, I invite you now to be bold, to be needy, to not have it all together. That's probably a good place. It means that God can prove how powerful he is. If you got to go, no shame. Please feel free. Might be a great time to grab a cup of coffee and talk with your neighbor, talk with someone, be encouraged out in the lobby. But I just encourage you, let us pray for you. I encourage you, stay in this space and receive from the Father individually. I encourage you, press in, don't be apathetic. Go with God. Do what he tells you. Hear from him. Be obedient. Bless you, church.